A live look at the Hart Bridge in downtown Jacksonville, crossing the St. John's River, and just a mile or so away at Everbank Field, the Jaguars prepare for Week 5 in the National Football League. They're facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Plenty to get to today. Of course, Buccaneers Week, a pivotal game for each of these franchises, in fact, to see how their seasons will turn. We'll talk about the game coming up and the stretch of games for the Jaguars. Blake Bortles, live press conference on Wednesday, as usual. We'll hear from the Jaguars quarterback. And new Jaguars right guard A.J. Cann will join us here on set. He's taken the spot of Brandon Linder, who's now on injured reserve. John, let's get started with this one. You know, moving on to the Tampa game, getting past that tough loss in Indianapolis last week. It's not easy, and there was a blowout loss the week before. You thought you were past that in the game in Indy. Lose a game like that with two different game-winning field goal chances missed. You just got to move on to Tampa, and you've said it all week. This stretch of games coming up is really important to see how this the season's going to turn.
Yeah, it's a game that you have a tough time moving on from. I've done a lot of radio, talked to you, and it's a tough one to process what happened with the Colts. So you do it, you try to explain, you try to analyze, you try to do all the stuff that we do, and then you realize by Wednesday it is time to move on. And you talked about the stretch of games, and I said going into the Colts game that I thought – this three-game stretch was really important. And that's still the reality. If you win twice and you get to 3-3, you come back here, or you're going to London at that point, at 3-3, and that's kind of what everybody thought. So as you sort of get out of the immediacy of the disappointment of the Colts and all the things that could have happened, that's still the reality. At the same time, the loss to the Colts, if you're talking about a three-game stretch and you lose the first one, then it puts a lot more urgency on the second two. And I know fans are feeling that, and you get the idea that on some level the team's feeling that.
We asked you this by we were sitting by the pool yesterday, John.
I enjoyed that.
It's always fun on Tuesdays sitting by the pool with you. Is it a must-win? Is it a should-win for the Jags team this week in Tampa? Are there such things for this team right now?
Well, I think what people want to hear is that it's a must-win to – you know, write a story and write the whole story of the whole regime. I don't think it's that. I think it's a must win if you want to stay in it right now. And because right now you've got, I think it's 8 teams that are above 500 in this league. So you're not far off from being right with the pack. If you'd won the other day, you're the ninth, you're tied for the ninth best record. So you're still in range. The Colts haven't gotten away from you. Nobody's gotten away from you yet. So in that sense, it's a must win because you need to win and get to 2-3 and 3-3 if you're going to go into those final 10 games sort of in it, if you're not talking about a mammoth comeback story and all that stuff. But I don't think it's a must win for what everybody's talking about, for Gus, for Dave, for writing a story on everything. We're not there yet. But in terms of trying to make something happen out of the season right now, yeah, you got to start winning. At some point, right?
Yes, I agree with that.
I'm no genius, but that's how it works.
Winning has not happened a lot around here recently, though. That's why everybody is all up in arms about winning some games around here. Jaguars, Bucks coming up Sunday at 1. Blake Bortles coming up at 11:55. That's the scheduled time for him, as always. The team is out on the practice field for a walkthrough right now. They'll come off. Blake will talk. And then A.J. Cann, Jaguars' new right guard, will join us here on set. You know, the offensive consistency was an issue again last week. Shut out in the second half. Mm-hmm. But they moved the ball. I mean, they had well over 400 yards of offense, outgained the Colts on the ground. The run game got going. Had a 100-yard receiver. A lot of things went right on offense except the scoring part of it.
Well, and you can't deny the scoring part of it. And that's been the whole thing. And that's the topic all week. So we've covered all that. At the same time, I heard it said this morning – and I hadn't even realized it, that they're 16th in the league in total offense. And they gained 400 yards last week. You've got Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson on pace to get 1,000 yards receiving. You've got T.J. Yeldon starting to get going. And you've got Blake, who now in 8 halves of football has put together 3 really good halves and maybe his best half on Sunday. So if you looked back at last season, none of those things we just talked about could ever have been said. So is there progress offensively? Are there signs? Are there guys who you're starting to look at and go, okay, maybe this is a piece. Maybe this is one of those things you can build around. Absolutely. You're still 1-3, and you still lost to the Colts last week in a game where you couldn't get points and couldn't get the ball in the end zone. So that stuff's still missing. I think it comes down to red zone offense. I think it comes down to this still being a young group of skill position players. It takes time to get really good in the red zone. It takes time to finish drives. They've gone from here to here. The problem is the really cool part, the really important part, is going from here to here, which is red zone offense. Now is that time.
Scoring is cool, John.
Well, it's, you know, and I'm not trying to be snide when I say that.
Right.
But I remember talking to Peyton Manning 04, 05 when I was covering the Colts, and they were starting to get really good in the red zone. And you asked him why. And he said, it's the last thing. It's the last thing for a quarterback. Remember, he's in his seventh year at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't wait until seventh year to get better for Blake. I'm not saying that. But the point is, it's hard for young quarterbacks. That's the toughest part. And all the cliches about the field shrinking, about there being more DBs, about the defense is playing differently, it's all true. But it takes time for a young offense. If you take out the first two seasons of the Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell regime, which nobody wants to do, but if you do, and you realize that you're in the fifth game under Greg Olsen in this new offensive system, and you've got a young quarterback, young wide receiver, then it's not so unusual that you would be going from here to here and still need red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Still frustrating.
Defensive side of the ball, they forced two turnovers last week. A couple of fumbles recovered for this Jaguars defense. This week, though, Jameis Winston, the rookie quarterback for Tampa Bay, well, he threw four picks last week. I think he fumbled another time. You would think, with the numbers he's put up, that there would be some opportunities on the back end to intercept some balls finally.
Right? Well, there's a couple ways to look at it. He's got seven this season. The problem the Jaguars face is, if I'm remembering the stat right, I think the Jaguars have seven interceptions over the last 20 games.
Wow,
so
that's not much.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was six last year and I won this year. If not, it's too close to that either way. So, yes, Jameis will throw you the ball. Are these DBs, is this secondary playing close enough to get the interceptions? Are they pressuring the receivers enough?
Mm-hmm.
I think they could pressure more. Also, is the defensive line getting enough pressure on third and long, which is usually when you get interceptions, they're situational.
That's right.
It's rare to have a first and 10 interception where the guy just makes a great break of the ball. It happens, but more often they come when you have third down, third and long, you get pressure, errant throw, interception. When the defensive line isn't getting pressure with four on third and long, interceptions get harder. So a lot of things contribute to it, but good teams get interceptions because those turnovers are when you start to see this game slide in your favor. You get big leads. That's what you got to start doing.
Blake Bortles coming up, 11:55, the scheduled time for the Jags quarterback today. We'll carry that live right here. And A.J. Cann, Jaguars' new right guard, will join us on set right after that. To that end, John, let's talk about this offensive line a little bit. The injury bug bit Brandon Linder. He's done on injured reserve with the shoulder injury, the torn labrum. He'll go under the knife. So A.J. Cann, at least for now, is the starting right guard. Big change because Linder was he's the best offensive lineman the Jags had. But for Cann, he's kind of the future of a guard position here, and it's a good opportunity for him.
At some point, he's going to be somewhere on the line. So, you know, whether they have Cann Linder, Linder Cann next year, whatever, you get the idea that this is what the future is going to be at some point. He played well last week. It's naive to think that you're not going to miss Brandon Linder. At the same time, when you're talking about progress, which we were earlier, think about the fact that you were without Linder last week and may have had your best running day of the season and gave up one sack, and you still, when you watch the game, you didn't feel like it was Katie bar the door on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, that is how it's supposed to be. Even when you use your best offensive lineman, you're supposed to be able to cover up stuff on the offensive line. It's usually you can cover up a guard, even if he's great, if your tackle center are playing well. So I don't think this line is where Doug Marrone wants it to be eventually, but you have eight sacks, which is a pace for 32. That's 39 less than last year's total. And they're running the ball, not the way they run a run, but they're running better, and you're starting to see them be able to stick with it at the end of games, get stuff done. So I don't think you miss Brandon Linder as much this year as you would have last year, because I think the whole unit is better.
Offensively for the Jags, what do you hear from Blake Bortles today heading into week five? You know, like you said, a good first half, one of the best halves he's had in Jacksonville, but then the offense kind of bogged down a little in the second half.
Well, it's been touched on before this season because that's been a thing. You know, good first half, Carolina, Miami, and then not really great second half in those games. Well, now it's really pronounced. So now I fully expect that to be a huge topic today. I don't really know what he can say to shed very much light on it. I think he needs – clearly his accuracy wasn't the same in the second half as the first the other day. So that's got to improve. I expect he'll probably say something like that. As with all these Wednesday press conferences, they'll be interesting. It'll be a topic. And what we'll really find out is what happens on the field on Sunday.
We might hear some injury updates a little later today. Gus Bradley will speak to the media, as always, after practice. That's about 3:45 or so, thereabouts. We'll have that for you live right here as well. But we'll get some updates on Julius Thomas' status and Cedric Marks as well. Mm-hmm. It sounds like, at least from the Monday press conference, that they might have a little more of a status for Cedric Marks this week. We'll see. It's still relatively early.
I expect there to be an update on Julius Thomas today, I believe, and Cedric Friday from what the team announced on Monday. Yeah. Last week, and even at the end of last week, I didn't expect them to play against Tampa. Now you're starting to get the idea there's a chance. And with injuries like this, which is Julius has been out almost 2 months, I guess, and Cedric's been out since January, I don't think you'll necessarily know on either guy until maybe Friday. You know, it's reasonable to think there might be hiccups even in the final stages of getting back. But, yes, those guys would help. I would expect to see Julius be able to help at a more immediate, higher level immediately, simply because it's a hand. You would think he's in pretty good shape from being able to run, practice. Cedric's a knee coming off. He's a quick-twitch defensive tackle, as weird as that sounds, but he depends on quickness. He's going to depend on that push-off. I don't know that you'll see him be able to make quite the immediate impact as Julius. I hope I'm wrong, because Cedric has the ability to make plays and be an impact player up front. Logic would tell you it would take him a little longer to get to 100%.
Kids reading event yesterday, no brace on the hand, holding a children's book. Julius Thomas.
You broke a little Twitter news there.
I don't know. People were freaking out, though.
Maybe didn't even really mean to.
I didn't at all. It's funny how that works out. So we'll hear from that coming up. We'll listen for that coming up a little bit later.
It's amazing how well you can read without a brace, JP.
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it?
I think catching passes may be a little different, but we'll see. But the bottom line is it sounds like he's getting really close. Whether it's this week, next week, you're going to get a chance to see him on the field.
A couple other defensive players went down last week. Aaron Colvin was out. Paul Posluszny had a high ankle sprain. James Sample was down in the game as well with a shoulder injury. That's something to watch this week, too. Defense a little thin.
Yeah, it sounds like the shoulder injuries, you didn't get a big vibe on Monday that those were automatically going to keep guys out. Gus talked about Paz on Monday. And was referring to the high ankle sprain.
Yeah. And he said it wasn't a traditional.
Yeah,
high
and I'm not sure what that means. I assume that it means, you know, usually if it's really high up and off the ankle and closer to the shin, that it means they're down for a while. By him saying not traditional and talking about Paz's preparation and toughness, he's not ruling them out. You get the idea maybe that's a little wishful thinking. With a high sprain, it usually means weeks. We'll find out.
Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank, awaiting the press conference of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles when the team comes off the field from walkthrough. We'll carry that live, and then A.J. Cann, the Jaguars right guard, will join us as well. Back to the run game a little bit. T.J. Yeldon had his first career 100-yard game. The Jags offense as a whole got it going. And as it happens in big games like that, you have some big running gash plays to kind of get that number up. But as a whole, that's what this offense wants to be.
Sure.
They want to run the ball. You're going to have some runs where you get, you know, no yardage or negative yardage, but you make that up with the long gains, and that's what happened on Sunday.
And that's usually how most backs in the NFL do it. It's usually not 5-5-5-5 and getting to 20. It's usually 1-2-35, 1-2, you know.
Yeah.
That's usually how it works. I don't know that TJ yet is where he's going to be at the end of the season in terms of comfort level in terms of absolutely being used to the speed of the game. But I think it appears that he's close and continuing to get close. And I thought the 36-yarder was a good sign the other day.
Yeah,
you know, he broke it off. And in the last couple of games, but particularly on Sunday, it looked like he was getting more of those 5 and 6 yard runs, where maybe it starts off 2 and then he's able to grind it out and get 5 or 6.
Yeah, sure.
Right now it feels like what he's going to be. At some point, I think you're going to see the glider.
Let's go down the hall. Blake Bortles speaking to the media on a Wednesday.
Like Rob.
Oh, the writer's going to be so mad.
Oh, well.
I didn't get the text.
They were in the hallway talking to Dave, so they might
be here in just a sec. So we'll get started.
Guys,
all week have been talking about this. So as you looked at the tape, what's one thing that you can do on offense to help finish? Something concrete that people can
look at? I think just continuing to pay attention to detail. And I know it's kind of cliche to say, but it's true. I mean, there's so many little errors that have occurred down in the red zone that have kind of kept us from finishing drives. You know, it's really been at every position. And I think, you know, continuing to have a big emphasis on that. I know it'll be huge this week, you know, with the previous week struggling to put up points and finish drives. And then it kind of carries over into finishing the game as well. You know, being able to mentally stay focused for 4 quarters and stay into it.
When you look at the numbers, you know, you see the passing yards, the rushing yards, the conversions on third down. Is it fair to say improvement this week is winning?
Yeah, I think so. I think everything else is kind of in place. So, I mean, I think the one more improvement would be to win, obviously. But I think, you know, we've kind of done everything. I think all our numbers are pretty good, you know, with the exception of offensive scoring, which, you know, kind of the bottom line is the only one that matters, right? So I think we got to continue to pay attention to the details in order to put up points, you know, consistently, you know, throughout the game.
There's been a noticeable difference between the numbers in the first half and the second half. You know, so everybody now wrapped up in halftime adjustments.
Right.
How do things change in the course of a game? And can you guys put your finger on why, even in the win over Miami, things change from first half to second?
Yeah. You know, it's really hard to kind of point out and pick, you know, what goes wrong. You know, it's the same game plan with the same players running each play, right? So it's kind of hard to figure out why, you know, the lack of execution occurs in the second half. But I think it all stems back to the attention to detail, staying mentally locked in throughout the game, and, you know, really being able to be, you know, precise, you know, throughout the game and, you know, be able to finish like Gus talks about all the time.
Is there anything that happens at halftime, or is it more through the course of the game where you're making changes?
No, I mean, it's really, you know, at halftime we'll talk about, you know, certain things if we're struggling with things or if we want to attack different things. But I mean, it's the whole process of everything I think is really good. I think it's just a lack of execution throughout the game.
You need to score more points. If you fix whatever the problem is in the red zone, that kind of makes that go away, right?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. You know, because that's obviously, you know, you make big play, you're going to have big play touchdowns, you know, throughout the season, throughout games. But when you know, like last week, I think, you know, in the second half, we were in their territory 6 times or something. So you got to be able to get down into the red zone and execute. You know, and obviously everything's tighter, windows are smaller, the field is kind of shortened. But I think we have a big emphasis here throughout the week of red zone execution. So I think being able to just kind of execute that is really the only way to improve it.
Why doesn't it carry over? Has it been the execution? The word precision was thrown around. Is it as precise?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's little things. You watch it. You know, I think, you know, for example, last week, we get down, you know, after Hearns has a big catch, A-Rob has a big catch, and we're down in the red zone on our second drive. You know, try a little play action pass, didn't work, throw it away, run the ball on second down, get it down to the 2, and then have an opportunity on third down. You know, where Sadie's comes open on a stick route inside and I bypassed him and went to Hearns, you know, so it's little things like that, staying true to a read that we've been doing since camp, you know, going 1 to 2 rather than bypassing 1 and going right to Hearns.
So having Julius Thomas, not only in the middle of the field, but having him on the field in the red zone, that would help tremendously.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, everybody knows what kind of player he is and the ability he has. And I think he'll only help that, especially in the red zone.
You've done really well in play action. You seem to kind of get away from it in the second half. Was there a reason, something you saw that made you guys get away from play action?
No, not really. I mean, it's part of who we are. It's part of, you know, our offense and our identity. And it's, you know, something I think we're really good at, like you said. You know, I think the offensive line does a good job up front of selling the run. Backs do a good job, and guys run good routes. So I think we got to continue to kind of use that as part of, you know, who we are. And it's been something that's created big plays for us.
When Julius comes back, you guys haven't thrown out for him in a long time. Is too much to be made of you throwing him before with him, or if you already throw him enough before he got hurt? You know,
right. You know, I think we did a good job, you know, kind of creating some chemistry and, you know, hopefully be able to pick up where we left off.
Have you seen teams focus more on TJ and Zach Fox a little bit more as he's progressed?
Right. You know, not really. I think guys are kind of going to kind of play the run, you know, like they do week in and week out. I think he's done a good job. I think the guys up front have done a good job creating holes for him, which I think he's been really good.
Roger Washington and
comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles on a Wednesday, and we're joined now by one of the guys that's going to protect him this week, right guard A.J. Cann. Good to see you. Thanks for coming down here, man.
Yes, sir. No problem at all.
Appreciate you. You're from – let's start off with the big news of the week nationally, South Carolina flooding issues. You're from Bamberg.
Yes, sir.
Has that city been hit? How are your folks? What's going on?
Well, speaking to my dad the other day, it appears that everything is fine, because it's weird that we're in the middle of the Columbia area. In Charleston, like we in the middle, and apparently we didn't get hit that bad. It did flood a little, but not as worse as some of the other cities.
Columbia has been hit as well. The University of South Carolina, the Gamecocks hosted LSU this week, but it could be moved. How about that, huh? Can you imagine having to play another game? It might be moved to Baton Rouge now.
I didn't know that, but that is a lot to do in 1 week.
It certainly is. A lot to do this week for the Jaguars, too, going into Tampa Bay. Do you guys look at it as a game you need, or is it just the next game on the schedule? As a group, how do you look at this game on Sunday?
I'm pretty sure everybody on the team focuses. We takes it one game at a time, and we want to win, try to win every game we can. Mm-hmm. So it's not just another game on the schedule. It's something that everybody's focused and looking forward to.
What do you take away from, you know, last week's game? It was a game where the offense moved the ball, you know, just couldn't score. Had well over 400 yards of offense. For the most part, you guys did your job and got the ball down the field, got it into position for the field goals at the end. What do you learn from a game like that? And what did you do well last week as a group?
You know, like you just said, you know, we moved the ball, you know, passed the ball well, and we ran the ball well. Mm-hmm. But one of the things Coach talks about was taking care of those little things, and maybe if we take care of those little things on the field, like maybe we can break for that score or that touchdown here or there. Mm-hmm. Just taking care of those little things, and we'll be fine.
Are you happy with your debut, right guard? How did that go for you?
Well, it was everything I expected as far as, like, the NFL and the physicality and the speed of it. And it was fun, I tell you that. And I think I handled myself pretty well for my first start, and I'm just ready to see what the future holds.
Was it, that was the next question. How different is gameplay in the NFL as compared to the SEC?
Well, the preparation is a whole lot different. Okay. You know, it's a lot to take in, but in college it was a little different, but in the NFL, you know, there's a lot of tips and things that you look forward to when it comes to the gameplay.
A.J. Cann is with us, Jaguars right guard here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. The right side of this offensive line has been considered a strength all year, with Parnell on the right, Linder right guard, Wisniewski the veteran at center. You're jumping in there now. How have those guys helped you in the transition so far, Wisniewski and Parnell especially?
Well, you know, it's a good thing. I'm around a lot of veteran guys. Yeah. Because they're able to talk to me a lot and coach me up on many different things. If I have a question, they're willing to answer it. If I'm struggling with this or that, you know, they're willing to step up and give me a few pointers, and that's what I like about them.
Let's go to social media. Are you a social guy, right?
Yeah.
Or are you?
Well, I consider myself a social guy. You know, I'm not afraid to talk to anybody or anything like
okay.
that.
Okay. Social media. What's your handle on social media?
AJ Cann 50 on Twitter and AJ Cann 60 on Instagram.
That doesn't make any sense. Why are they different?
Because on Instagram, I can't. On Twitter, I can't figure out how to change the the name. So it's just been like that since college.
That's what Dan Scuda said last week, too. It's not that hard, right?
I try.
Apparently it is.
I can't.
I don't know. Let's go to social media, get some questions. Starting off on Twitter, kind of to what we were just talking about, from at Kyle Turr, which fellow offensive lineman has helped you the most so far in your rookie season?
I would have to say it's either Linder or Bowinko. Yeah, I talked to especially Bowinko. His locker is right next to mine, and he's, you know, I like being around him. He's funny, and he's just willing to talk to me about anything. Anything I ask him, he can tell me anything.
You can't get a word in edgewise, probably.
Nah, he's a character. I tell you that much. Man.
What's Linder done for you this year?
You know, just like I said before about how Wiz and Jeremy, those guys, older guys that are willing to answer questions for him if I need mm-hmm. anything. Exactly how Linder is. You know, if I need anything from him, he's willing to tell me. Throughout the game Sunday, you know, he'd come to the sideline, you need anything, how is this going? You can do better at this, do better at that. He was there for me throughout the whole game.
Let's go to Instagram now. This is from Sheffer Heifer. Do you do Pilates?
Well, I did take that class in college.
Did you?
Yeah, I took a Pilates course in college. And I think it helped me a little bit, but now here on Fridays we do yoga. Not really, but I kind of call it the same thing. I think it is.
Close enough. Yeah. Right? Now, okay, we got to expand this story then a little bit. Friday yoga, is it the whole team? Is it the O-line? What is it?
No, it's like they have different stations here to help the team out throughout at the end of the week before we take off for a game.
Right.
You know, we do massages and yoga and stuff like that just to help out with us.
So it's not like downward dog, like straight yoga and a hot room or anything?
No, it's not like that. We do many different exercises every week. We did do the downward dog one time, but yeah.
There you go. That's the only move I know. I'm not a yoga guy, AJ. I don't know. This is from everybody like Chris. Hey, what's your favorite food these days? Chicken still? Wait a minute. You know this guy?
Yeah, I know. Okay. it's still macaroni and cheese. I love macaroni.
Mac and cheese?
Yes. Been loving it since day one.
Infused with anything or just mac and cheese?
It may be just mac and cheese. Sometimes if somebody in my family is cooking a dinner and it don't matter what it is, I'd be like, just let me get some mac and cheese. I'll take mac and cheese over anything.
You're a growing young man. Jimmy_James15, who is the best leader on the team? A lot of guys have been around here for a bit now, still overall a younger group. Who's the best leader on this team?
I would look at guys probably like Roy Miller, defensive tackle. He steps up a lot and talks to the team a lot, and I guess I picture him as one of the bigger leaders on the team.
That's he's a good one to follow, too.
Yes, sir.
He's the one that goes out and does all the pregame circle thing.
Yeah.
I mean, could that be you in the future? Are you that hyped before games, or what's your pregame? Are you mellow?
I'm a mellow guy. I try to stay focused as I can. But it depends on the situation. Sometimes I may step up and say a few words. But other than that, I'm a mellow guy.
Let's go off the field a little bit before we get you out of here. You're in Jacksonville now. You're settled here in town. Where are you staying? And what's some things you like to do here in Jacksonville? Not a lot of time to do stuff right now, I guess, right?
No, it's not really during the football season.
Right.
But, I found a little nice place to stay now. And these days, I'm a movie guy.
Okay.
Yeah, if I ever get some free time, I always take the chance to go watch a movie or anything like that. I love watching movies.
Okay, well, what's the best new release right now that you've seen?
What did I see? I saw Straight Outta Compton was the last movie I went to see, and it was a pretty good documentary.
Now, it was a group of guys that went, the whole team, almost not the whole team, but a lot of the team went together, I think, when it first came out, and they were talking about it in the locker room the other week. It's still out, right? It's still out in theaters?
Yeah, it should be. I guess so,
I guess I gotta go see it.
I actually went to see it twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
What did you miss the first time as you saw the second time? That always happens, you know?
It's always better the second time, I guess.
Well, you know, how's it better? You know it's coming. It doesn't make any sense.
that's like you know it's coming, but at the same time it gets better, though, even though you know it's coming.
Favorite restaurant in Jacksonville so far? What is it?
The Cheesecake Factory. To me, I've been there a few times with my parents, and I'm starting to like it.
How many different kinds of cheesecake have you eaten there? Now, be honest.
To be honest, I haven't. It's a Cheesecake Factory, and it's a lot of, like,
that is what it's called,
And it's a lot of, like, desserts and stuff, but I haven't had a dessert there yet, though. That's the weird thing about it.
That is strange. It's a lot of mac and cheese at the Cheesecake Factory. Let's finish with this now. Going into Tampa, this team is focused and ready to put last week behind them. So how do you do that and move forward to this Tampa Bay game? And what's a positive result this week in Tampa for this team?
You know, of course we want to go in there and try to win. But this week, you know, coach has been saying that we just want to focus and, like I said before, take care of those small things. Mm-hmm. You know, just prepare the best way we can and practice like how we want to play. And we should go in this game, show up strong, and we should be fine.
AJ, we're excited for you. Congratulations on the starting gig, and good luck this week.
Thank you so much.
AJ Cann joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Of course, the Jaguars Women's Association and PRI Productions present Meet Me at the 50. It's hosted by Michaela and Gus Bradley, coming up Thursday, October 15th in the U.S. Assure Club West. ESPN's Susie Colbert will be here for a keynote address. And visit www.jaguars.com/50 to register. And, of course, Jaguars Radio tomorrow night, the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network from 6 to 7. And then Jaguars Thursday, Baselli and Lagerman will jump in 7 to 8 o'clock. That's tomorrow on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Our thanks to John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, who joined us earlier. Of course, Blake Bortles with his comments on Wednesday. Big game for the Jags offense coming up in Tampa. AJ Cann was here on set with us. The rookie's getting the start now at right guard. He started last week with Brandon Linder going on injured reserve for the rest of the season with a shoulder injury. So AJ Cann is the starting right guard, and we thank him for his time as well. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. The Jaguars and the Buccaneers coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock in Tampa. That's it for today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.